Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading with the 16th verse and read down through the end of the book, verse 21. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. We got all kinds of help here. There we go. Revelation chapter 22, reading this from the 16th verse. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the beginning, from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The 16th verse that we had read in Revelation 22 is, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of an offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And that beautiful little chorus there told us those things. And now let's begin with prayer before we start the message today. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come into your house and to hear your word. I ask that you'll show us every word, every step, guide and lead us. If we know you as our personal Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living within our heart, and so you will guide us and lead us through this study today. I thank you for the specials. I thank you for the precious hymns that we have sung together today, and now it prepares us for your precious word. Now, please, guide and lead us as we study through the end of this precious book, a book that should be studied often, and we should be prepared for the times that are to come. And I just thank you for giving it to us. Now, please, guide and lead us through it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse, this 16th verse, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things to the churches. To the churches. Now, at the very beginning of this book, why we have studied through the seven churches of Revelation, and we are just finishing the Church of Sardis on the radio on 105 as we are beginning the study through the book of Revelation. When we study a book, we take it, we look at the verses, we pore over it, we review it each week so that we can come and know the Word of God. And so for us to enjoy these studies and to come on Sunday night, and we're in 2 Corinthians, on Tuesday afternoon they're studying Proverbs, the ladies' Bible study, Wednesday night we're studying the book of Psalms. We love studying the Word of God, and we need to know the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. And so please, today, when we look at this statement here, I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto these things, unto you, these things, unto the churches. The churches being the seven churches are listed here. Those seven churches are not only seven literal churches of the day when John was on the Isle of Patmos and received them, but also it is seven church ages, and we today, without question, are in the last and final church age of the Laodicean church. And so, as we will be, again, studying that on the radio, once again, I would invite you to listen as we go through each one of those churches and each stage that we're in. The Church of Sardis is the church age during the Reformation of Martin Luther. And so, as we look at those seven literal churches, seven churches that some loved the Lord, some of them did not love the Lord. And so we have the same today. Many churches today do not preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, do not teach the Word of God. They kind of teach a social gospel. And today the time is so soon that He is coming. We must be prepared. We must be ready. And so He sent this, He testified to the churches. And so this verse tells us that we are to read and to study this precious book, the book of Revelation. Not just the book of Revelation, of course, but all of the precious Bible that we have before us. As we look at these verses, we find that John witnessed this, the events that were to come. And it didn't just involve just born-again believers. This book here involves and tells and describes what's going to come to pass for the saved and for the lost. And today, we don't hear much about hell and the lake of fire and what's to come to those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We just hear about everything is good. We've discussed that any funeral that you've ever been to, why they're always they're in a better place. Yes, if they trusted in Jesus as their Savior. No, if they didn't. And we need to make that so clear that the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Not later in the Sunday school class this morning, I asked a question. If Jesus was coming noon tomorrow, what would you do between now and then? Well, I'd go do this and I would go do that. And I said, who says He isn't? We need to be ready because He's going to come. And instead of that, why, we really don't believe He's coming. You know, well, sometime, you know. Everything is ready, and we need to be prepared today. And so this book here, the book of Revelation, gives us much learning and much knowledge and wisdom about what's going to happen to the lost and to the saved. He's told to send it to the churches. And they are told to hear it and to study it. Then He comes to another introduction of who He is. I am the root and the offspring of David, the Scripture tells us in the middle of verse 16. Jesus was born King of the Jews. The Magi come and ask, you know, where is He that is born King of the Jews? You can find that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus died King of the Jews. Matthew 27, 37, above Him was posted, King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews. Jesus shall reign as King of the Jews. We have that in Zechariah 9:9. The prophet Zechariah says, behold, thy king cometh. He is just and having salvation. We are told that He is the root and the offspring of David. Jesus come for the Jews. But He is also the bright and morning star. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, and King of the Jews, yes. But He is also the bright and morning star. And that applies to the church. That applies to you and me, born-again believers. Jesus is King. Jesus is the Bridegroom. By the light of our Jesus, by the light of our Lord Jesus, we should be moved, our heart should be stirred. When we hear those words that He is the bright and morning star, that should stir our hearts and excite us knowing that He's coming to get us. An old fire should be kindled down inside our soul. And when it is said here, I'm the bright and morning star, let's look to see what the response is in the 17th verse. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You see, when the Lord Jesus here tells John, handed down to all the churches, and says, I am the bright and morning star, that should stir our hearts, that should excite our hearts. And John couldn't help but say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm ready for your return. Do we live each day and excited each day that he could come today? I think most of us live and prepare for death instead of for life. We need to prepare for life. These words should excite us. The true church should long for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because for John here to say those words and say, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What an invitation. Come. Come. It's two-sided. They're calling for the Lord Jesus to come to get him. And at the same time, the invitation comes from the other direction. Jesus says, come. We need to be ready, and we need to be excited. Him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take that water. Whosoever. You see, we're in the church age today. Yes, we're in the Laodicean church age. But we're being in the church age today, we're also in a statement, we're in the whosoever age. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There has never been a time in history that God has given so much witness to his truth, so much light for this land and this world to be saved. As time comes to an end, so much is given to us. Please look and listen. And I hope you know Jesus as your Savior, because there's a time that's going to come very quickly. And that time is going to come, as the Scripture says, as a thief in the night. It's going to come that quickly. He's going to come and take his church. Come. Every believer should cry out, as the 20th verse tells us, even so come, Lord Jesus, the very end of verse 20 there. This is the day of grace, the day of God's long-suffering, the day of God's great mercy. And if someone rejects the precious gift of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not because he couldn't afford it, it's not because it wasn't plain. It's just because the old flesh and the old devil wins, and they reject the salvation of our Lord. I hope no one here makes that choice or decision, that everyone will come and call upon the Lord Jesus. The call today is to every thirsty soul. The call today is to every weary soul. As we've say many times with the radio ministry, it's threefold. It has, first, every message has the plan of salvation, how to be saved. It tells of the cross of Calvary. It tells that you just listen to the Spirit of God and be saved. The second is for growth. It's a study of the Word of God so we can grow in the Word of God. And the third is that there will be no one that's without excuse. If you heard one radio program, one, you heard the plan of salvation clearly. God's Word tells us without the radio program, without the ministry that we have, we are still without excuse. God gives enough instruction and directions through his Word, through creation, that you know there's a Savior, and we know we need salvation. So we need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let him that is athirst come. And then again, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Please, don't miss that. Any thirsty individual is invited to take and to drink of the water of life freely. Do you realize this is the last invitation given? It's the last invitation given. We've studied through the Scripture. We love the Word of God. On Wednesday night, we started Genesis 1:1, and in 22 years we have gotten to the middle of Psalms. And you folks know that I realized that either the Lord wasn't going to tarry that long or I wasn't going to live that long. So on Sunday night, we decided to start studying the New Testament so that hopefully we can get through the Scripture from end to end to study every verse. We love the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God. As we look to this Word and know that Jesus calls us for salvation, Jesus gives us His Word, gives us also instruction here. The last invitation's given, and then we have some very stern statements about the Word of God. 18th verse, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." It's a warning to adding to this book. Man's good at that. Man's good at taking God's perfect word and changing it to fit his lifestyle. Many denominations and churches through the years have spent more time with tradition than they do with the Word of God. Well, that's the way my parents did it, and so that's the way we do it. Well, did you ever ask, is that what the Word of God tells us? Because this is our tool, and we need to stay with the Word of God. If you add to that, and I believe that this doesn't only apply, it clearly applies to the book of Revelation, but I believe it applies to the whole book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. In Revelation 1:3, the promise is given, promises a blessing to all who read it, hear it, keep it, and obey it. That was at the beginning. Revelation 22:19-20 here warns that judgment and God's wrath shall be poured out upon all who change or tamper with this book, whether you add to it or take away. 18, the warning is about adding to. In verse 19, the warning is about taking away. And the warning in 19, the plagues come in 18, but in 19 it says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy, take out of the book of life, away from the part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book." So if you add to it, you get the plagues. If you take away from it, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. We are saved by grace. Many add works to their salvation. We have to be baptized, for instance, to be saved. We have to continue to serve in a given church to be saved. But God does not say that in His Word. God tells us so clearly, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And when you call upon the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. What a glorious day that is. A day that for the first time you have the teacher, the one that can direct you and show you his way and will. So how can you lose your salvation? If it is a gift, if there is no works connected to it, if when you're saved and born again and you receive salvation, many believe they're saved by grace in that way, but then they believe that they can fall away from it. If it's something that there's nothing we can do for salvation to save ourselves, not one thing, why do we think there's something that we can do that can keep ourselves? You think about that. If you can't save yourself, how can you do anything to keep your salvation? And people are so afraid of that doctrine of Scripture Because, well, that gives you the freedom to do anything or everything. My friend, you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, teaching you and showing you the truth and the way. And so what do we do with these verses of Scripture now? Because it says to take his part out of the book of life. My friend, that's not referring to a born-again, blood-washed, redeemed child of God. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, God within you, you will not question this word. You will not change this word. You will not take away from it or add to it, because it is the Word of God. And if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you will be in agreement with that. So the only person that will take away from this book or add to this book is a person that is not born again. They have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They could be in church all their life. They could be the most religious person you've ever seen. But if they take away from this book, it's not that their name is taken off of that roll. It's that it cannot be on there, because they're choosing to change the Word of God. You know, the Word of God tells if you teach a child false doctrine, that it's better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown off into the river. How serious is it to teach the Word of God correctly? These churches that have left the Word of God and went to some social gospel. These denominations today that stand upon tradition and do not stand upon the Word of God. I don't want to stand with them. I don't want to stand next to them. God's judgment's coming. You find somebody that starts tampering with the Word of God, there's one thing that you need to do for that person, and that's tell them about Jesus. He said, oh, they're saved. I know they are. No, they're not. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how to be born again. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. He loved them so much that he was obedient to his Father to go to the cross of Calvary and die on that cross. Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Adding or taking away from the Word of God cancels your hope of salvation. It's God's Word. It's His eternal Word. And if you want eternal life, follow His book. Don't follow some man's teaching. Anyone that changes this book, whether as a whole for a denomination and leads a whole group of folks away from the truth, or just an individual that chooses to believe parts and change parts, Holy Spirit's not within their heart. Why are we in agreement over the Word of God? Because we all have the Holy Spirit, one Spirit. We've got to agree. We will agree. We're in unity together over the precious Word. A lost person will change it. A saved person will stand and fight for the truth. The lost don't care. We've had in the past folks that have come through these doors and spent a short period of time with us and denied the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say they're saved. Are we to judge an individual? I think it's pretty safe to judge someone, to make a statement of someone that denies the blood of Jesus Christ. How can a person be saved and deny that? Unless that person and those folks repent, they will wake up in hell. You can't deny the blood of Jesus. You can say, I don't understand. I don't know for sure what you're talking about. And you go to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will confirm it. The Holy Spirit does not deny it. Never deny the blood of Jesus Christ. We come now down to the 20th verse. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And John come back immediately. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Do you see the excitement in John's voice? Without question, this is truly the revelation of Jesus Christ. And for John to hear those words, number one, we just had the final invitation. And now we come and he makes a statement to John as he goes through all this information and all these things that he's witnessed and heard. And he said, surely I come quickly. Well, we're still waiting, aren't we? And so you can say, well, he's probably not coming. Well, please don't say that, because the Word of God clearly tells us he is. And as we talked about last week, to the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, one day. So as you go back and forth with that, the Lord's only been gone 2 days. And he's coming, and he's going to get us. And I believe he's coming soon. We need to be prepared. And so the final message that we have, not only the final invitation in this part of Scripture, but we also have the final message to the church. Surely I come quickly. That was the final message that he has given here. What a wonderful, wonderful message. This is the last words. Think about that. This is the last words from heaven. We haven't verbally heard from the Lord Jesus since. This is the last words. And until he meets us in the air and takes his church home, that's the next sound we're going to hear, is the trump's going to sound. He's going to call us home. And I hope every one of us are alive to witness that. And you know what? If we don't, he's going to open the grave first. Those that die in Jesus Christ, the graves will be opened and we'll meet the Lord in the air as the call comes. And we that are alive will follow those that had to pass through the grave. The last words. The Old Testament closes with a promise of his first coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus. The New Testament closes with the promise of his glorious second coming. The second coming will be in two parts. First, he'll come and take his church. You and I are going to go, if you know Jesus as your Savior. We're going to meet him in the air. And then begins the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then 7 years later, he will come and plant his feet on this earth, his second coming. So one is the rapture, the next is the revelation. He will be here. I come quickly is his last words. And that precious answer that John had is, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. When we hear these words preached, are we standing the same? Are we excited the same way? When we hear those words, surely I come quickly, just like the Lord Jesus is saying, this is his precious words, are we saying, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come and come now. Come. John said this on behalf of us, and we should be standing the same. You know, the whole creation is crying and groaning, waiting to be delivered. Romans 8, chapter 22 and 23 tells us that. In this 21st verse now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the Greek is actually the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints, is what that's telling us. Be with all the saints. Life begins in grace, continues in grace, and comes to its final fullness by grace and in grace. Paul understood it. I hope we all understand. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's the only means we have, the only power that we have. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you born again? Jesus has made it so simple. We didn't have to be rich. Our skin color doesn't have to be a certain color. We don't have to be a certain position in society. We don't have to live in a certain area of the world. The gospel is presented to all. It's the whosoever. How easy can that be? Please listen to the call of God today and trust in Jesus as your Savior. Because I want you to be excited when you hear those words, surely I come quickly. And I don't believe John could contain himself, just like in the 17th verse, and the bride and the spirit and the bride says, "Come." I think John shouted out, "Come, come now." And here, "Surely I come quickly." Oh, dear Lord, amen. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, come. Let's close in prayer. Father, we've been studying this book for several months now. It's been a joy to my heart to study it and to teach it. I don't know, Father, how many opportunities through the last many years that you've given me to do that. But every time, it just thrills my heart. And it's said very clearly to be taught to the churches. So please, have us take this study and put it in our hearts. And maybe in the next few weeks, just sit down and read through this precious book now that we've finished it. And it's, Father, been a tremendous blessing to me to be able to turn around. I've never done that, to turn around and teach the book so quickly again over the radio. And I'm just enjoying it just as much teaching it the second time so soon here as I did as we started this study. So, dear Lord, please, that you'll just use these words. And I ask that you'll touch every heart this morning, every heart that's here, every heart that'll listen to this, whether they go to the website and listen or take a CD or whatever they might do to hear this message, that they will take it ever so seriously and examine their heart and know for sure, without a doubt, that they know you as their Savior. They have called upon you. They know, they remember when you came into their heart and saved them. And never been the same since. I rejoice and praise you for the day that you brought me the gospel and the day that I got down on my knees down on the farm and asked you to come into my heart and save me. Father, please, touch every heart today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.